About three requests. We'll do the first and last verses of the songs that you select. So we will do three of them, okay? All right. Anybody got one? Got a request? Okay, I need a page. Need a page.
179, I think it is.
79 or
179.
Yeah, 179.
Okay. All right, let's stand. First and last.
Thank you.
I tell you what, I'm like Miss Pam. I like that song. And I like the message. Because you know what? I appreciate being an old-time Christian even more when you see the way the world's going. And there's not a lot of them. But I hate to say it this way. I sound like Elijah talking. But I don't think there's too many of us left that like to be old-time Christians. So I like that song. It's a good one. All right, let's pray for Miss Teresa tonight. She ministers in song. Oh, you singing tonight? All right, come on.
To know you're near. My greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy. And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Amen. All right. Thank you, Ms. Holly. Appreciate that tonight. Ms. Teresa got a treat tonight. She got to listen and not have to play, didn't she? Ecclesiastes, please. Chapter 9. For lack of a better word, I will use the phrase random thoughts. It's not a good phrase, but I'm going to use it anyway. Things that, again, Solomon wants to bring to our attention. Last week, we looked at verses 1 through 3. We looked at an age-old principle that good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people. It just happens. Dealt with those verses and shared with us the reality of that. Verse number 4, we're going to read down from verse number 4 to verse number 6. It says, For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog, it's an interesting statement, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. Isn't that a statement? For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Now, in reading some of those verses, then some of us may look at it and say, well, that doesn't make sense, and that doesn't seem to follow in biblical teaching and preaching like I'm used to hearing and reading about. But you've got to understand that the thing that Solomon is saying. Solomon is talking about and using there in verse number 6, he said, that is done under the sun. So what he's talking about is what happens on this planet Earth. And if we understand that, then what he says up here in just a few moments will make good sense. Now, let's go back up to verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. All right, now remember, under the sun, we're talking about where we live. We're talking about interaction with people. We're talking about, you know, why did God put us here? God did not just put us here to work a 9-to-5 job or whatever. God did not just, you know, I'm thankful for our young people. I'm thankful for our young people when they graduate from high school, and like Bethany when they graduate from college, and Holly going to college, and we got Miss Nancy going to doing online classes, and on down the line, and that's to be commended, and it's honorable to do that. It's honorable to work. All of those things are right and proper and good in their place. But is that why we're here? Is that why we're here? God does talk about work, and it's commendable to work, and we should do so because the Bible says that it's honorable to do so. But now, wait a minute. Is that why we're here? Is that the only reason we're here? Is the only reason we're here to do what the Bible talks about when it talks about, replenishing the earth? You know, God bless some people. Now, it used to be when some of us were growing up, we knew we had maybe grandparents or great-grandparents that took that Bible verse literally. They had 10 and 15 youngins. And now it's scary. You don't see that anymore. I saw a documentary thing on the computer one time that talked about how that the Muslims are absolutely overtaking the world, because they're having 10 and 15 youngins at a time. And most people now, Caucasians, white people, I love statistics. We have, as far as Caucasians in this day and time, something like 1.7 children. I don't know how you do that. You cut part of him off, you know, but they say 1.7 or something like that. Whereas they say that the Muslims are having like 10 children, okay, and the only two races that are coming close to, and just getting close to the Muslims, are the number one, the Hispanic race, and number two, the blacks. We are on the same level as Europeans, whether you're from Germany, Switzerland, or England, or whatever. We're all in that 1.7 figure. At that rate, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. The Muslims will take over as far as race is concerned in just a short period of time. Okay. All right? So, you know, but is that why we're here? Cut to the chase, I read my Bible, and my Bible tells me that we are here to win people to God. Why are we here? We're here to minister. You say, well, God didn't call me to be a preacher. God didn't call me to be an evangelist. God didn't call me to be a missionary. God didn't call me to, you know, but God did call you to be in your Jerusalem. That's why God wants us here. That's the bottom line. I mean, thank God for everything that goes with it, but that's what he wants us to do, is to try to win. Many of you, you've been in churches where you go out the door and you'll see they'll put a sign over the door that says you are now entering the mission field. And other times you'll go out and you'll see a sign that says you are either a mission field or you are going into a mission field. So he says, for to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. There is, you know, if you don't, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Paul said in Thessalonians. I'm not here, you're not here just to toot our horns, just to, you know, Hollywood. Celebrities. Okay. You know, they're just, they get so caught up in their own self-importance, their own self-glory, that they really think they're really it. I mean, they just think they're fantastic. And everybody ought to just bow down to them. And you know, I hear them and they complain. You watch them on their broadcast, they say, well, I don't like to do this particular kind of TV show or this kind of movie because I become stereotyped. I love that word, stereotype. One of the greatest examples of that was Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies. Because Jethro became bitter, Max Baer. He got bitter because he said it ruined him from getting any good parts. But the way I'm thinking is, you became a star. Why don't you be thankful for Jethro? Sometimes I think people forget that. You remember old Gilligan's Island, the girl that played Ginger, Tina Louise. She hated that role after she did it. But you know what? She said, I don't know if she ever got any roles after that. But I'm thinking that puts you in stardom. People to this day know who Ginger is. All right? If it hadn't been for that, she'd have been probably a has-been. So it's like, okay, we need to get a grip on some things. We need to not forget. We need to keep that balance. We need to understand why we're here and not get this thing confused. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. And I like the comparison, and we chuckled at it. He said the comparison is this. It's better to be a living dog than a dead lion. I like that. Because, yes, a lion is ferocious. He has big teeth. He has paws. He has claws. He can rip you apart. Guess what? Not if he's dead. Isn't it gross to see a dead animal? You ever seen a dead animal lying in the road, like a possum, or you know, or a dog, or a cat, or a deer? I'm not sure the deer is a bad thing, but anyway. And then you see several things happen. You see flies swarming all over it. You might see crows. You see the vultures. And they come in there and start picking away. And it's like, okay, if that were a dead lion, what good's the lion? He's powerfully strong. He's dead. So he said, you're better off to be a living dog than to be a dead lion. No matter how powerful that, you know, here you got a lion over here and you got a chihuahua. Okay? A little chihuahua. Yip, 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 yip. You know? And have you ever seen a nervous chihuahua? And they shake and everything, you know, and they just quiver and they just like they're going to have a stroke or something. And it's better off to be that nervous chihuahua than it is to be that dead lion because you're alive. Okay. Then in verse 6 he says, for the living know that they shall die. Startling revelation. Every one of us, except for the coming of the Lord, we're going to die. Oh, did you know they're probably going to die Saturday? Saturday's Judgment Day. You seen that? Yeah. It's on billboards, it's on the news, and we're supposed to, Judgment Day's coming. I don't know what's going to happen. And you know, I don't know how that's going to happen. But this fella, somebody, I've just caught snatches of it on the radio. But there's one fella, and he's not even the one making the prophecy, I don't think. But there's some dude that put all his money, his life savings and everything, into billboards and banners and advertisements telling everybody that Judgment Day is going to be Saturday. And so I'm like, okay, you know, 12:01 a.m. Sunday morning, you know, he's going to have a startling revelation. Somebody asked me, said, do you think it's possible? I said, this world still has 1,007 years left on it. I said, we're not even close. And I said, number two, the Bible says that in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. All right. And then no man knows the day nor the hour. I mean, all that's in the Bible, and so I don't know where he's getting his little idea from. But, you know, for the living know they're going to die. All right? Some people really think they're probably going to die Saturday. Okay? What if they got any races Saturday? Anybody? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? All right? But, now this is the part that theologically you may question because you're thinking, now wait a minute, Solomon, where are you going? He said, but the dead know not anything. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute. When you die, you know plenty. Because we remember in Luke 16, the rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. But understand what he's saying. Go back down to verse 6 when he says, that is done under the sun. He's talking about what happens on earth. What he's talking about is a grave. Okay, now, will you please, just for a moment, let me just kind of wander here and don't get mad at me for what I'm going to say. But if I were to go to a cemetery, okay, I come from the school, and some of you have too, that we were taught, I was taught growing up, I don't think people teach it anymore, but I was taught growing up that you don't walk on burial mounds. Okay. Now that doesn't matter now. I don't think anybody teaches that anymore. But if you were to walk on the burial mounds, how many times have you ever heard, ow! Or has anybody dug straight up and grabbed you like an old B-zombie movie, you know, on Saturday night? Did you ever watch those growing up back when they used to do those things on Saturday night? They had Scare Mare and all that stuff, you know, and it was some of the most horrible movies. But the hands would come up and grab you, you know. Yeah, and so, but you know, it doesn't happen. You know, nobody's going to say, get off me, you know, or, you know, lose some weight, or something like that. You know, it's not going to happen. All right? The dead know not anything. When we take their bodies and we put them in a coffin and we put them in the ground, as far as the body's concerned, that's it until the Lord takes that body up to glorified in a glorified body. But between now and then, it's there. Okay. And so he's making the statement. He's talking about the fact of people living. And I guess here's the bottom line where he's getting with this is be thankful. You know, now I'm going to say something that's going to contradict what else I'm going to say. Now, this Friday is last day of school for me. Our school year is over this Friday. I am happy. I am counting the days now. I've been wanting this week to end. All right? And I don't like that. Because just as sure as you say, you know, and we all say, I can't wait for the weekend. But do you know what we're saying? We're saying, I want 5 days of my life to go that fast. And you know, as much as we want to say that because we look forward to the weekend or we look to whenever our weekend is, let's put it that way. Whenever our time is that we get some rest. We look forward to it. Then we start all over again. And then it's like, oh, I got to do this all over again. You know, and it is tough. And every one of us are there. Okay, and it's hard. It's really hard. Okay, but You know, I need, what I need to do is I need to say, Lord, thank you for today. You know, thank you that despite, excuse my French, despite the hell I've been through today, thank you for the day. And, you know, and it is, it's overwhelming. Every one of us, every person in here that works any kind of job, I just don't know. I just believe with all my heart. Some of y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. I think doing public work is harder now than it's ever been in the history of public work. It is so hard to work with John Q. Public. I mean, you remember a few months ago when they got when that woman up in, I don't know where it was, Indiana, Illinois, wherever it was, and she didn't get chicken nuggets at 6 o'clock in the morning from McDonald's, and she breaks through the glass to attack that woman. It's in the drive-thru. Isn't that the dumbest thing in the world? I mean, that'd just be like somebody going into Kmart and going to see Miss Teresa and saying, well, I want this particular flat-screen television. And she says, well, I don't have it. And then they go bonkers and they take it, pick it up, and slam it, and smash it. I mean, how insane are some people? Can you imagine somebody going to see Brother Julius at Taco Bell and they say, all right, I want a taco. And they give him the taco, and brother, and just exactly, and he said, this is no good. And slams that taco right in Brother Julius' face. That would not be a popular thing to do. But you know what? You just can expect stuff like that now. You know? I mean, you just don't know about, I'm sorry, you just don't know about these nuts. You know? I mean, how sad is it when you see these stories of people that go into, did somebody, what was it, a few months ago, went into a McDonald's down in North Carolina. I think it was, what city, Carr, North Carolina, and went into a McDonald's and started blowing people away with a gun. Carrie, North Carolina. And I'm like, how messed up are you? You know, I mean, why do I need to allow the circumstances of this world to destroy me? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you, he that is in the world. Some people think Oral Roberts made that famous. That was in the Bible first. You know? And of course he also used to say, then when he'd say that, he'd say, something good is going to happen to you. And you know, yeah, he was a faith healer and all that. But you know what? Some of that stuff is pretty good to think about. I mean, yes, there is bad out there, but there's bad stuff, but you know, there's some good stuff too. And if we think about how good some of the stuff is that God lets in our lives, we'd really be ashamed of ourselves for complaining and griping so much. I'm as bad about it as anybody, but I need to say, Lord, I may have told you I had a teacher in the fourth grade. I was in public school all my life. And my early elementary years, some of y'all know this too. You know, I remember when we could say pledges. We said pledges in public school. Some of y'all nod your head. You went through there too. You had that too. We had a fourth grade teacher. I had a fourth grade. She was an old-time Methodist lady. Her name was Mrs. Annie Hinchy. Mrs. Hinchy, she had a Bible storybook on her desk. I used to get that. I wasn't even saved. That book fascinated me. I loved the illustrations and drawings in that storybook. She would read a Bible story to us every day after lunch when we got back here. And she had a favorite thing. Her favorite thing was, she said, are you rich? Well, you know naturally what anybody's going to say. No. But she'd say things like, you know, do you have breath? Do you have a home to live in? You know, and she'd break that down. And she taught us in fourth grade, yes, you're rich. Now, we're not rich by the standards of a Donald Trump. We're not rich by the standards of, you know, the gold standard and that type of thing. But, you know, he says right here, you know, the dead are dead and they're in that coffin. They had their chance. And he says to us, don't blow it. Be thankful. There are some people that are looking forward to their lives. We got young people like Miss Holly and Brother Will and Brother Julius that are looking forward to many things. And there's some of us that have passed that stage of the medium, And we got more behind us than we got in front of us. But you know what? That doesn't matter. I still need to thank God for the days that I have. And thank God that I have lived to be where I am. Because you were talking about the one that somebody died, 52. It's awful close to home for some of us, isn't it? I'm thinking, I'm still upright. I'm not laying in a coffin. I'm not laying under the ground. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. The dead know not anything. I mean, you can, no offense, you can get on top of a grave and jump up and down and stomp it if you want to, but that does not intimidate the body that's under there. They don't know anything. Neither have they any more a reward. They had their chance to do what they had to do. And here's the message that Solomon's trying to say. Down here on this earth, we have opportunities. How much do we blow them? What kind of regrets will we have when we die and we get on the other side and stand before God? How many regrets are we going to have? And that's, you know, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now let me mention a famous president. I mean, when I say famous, you know when I mention his name, he's a president. Let's say a past president named Calvin Coolidge. Now I got a question for you. Who ran against Calvin Coolidge? We barely know Calvin Coolidge. We would not have known Calvin Coolidge if he had not been a president. But I don't know who ran across him. I'd have to get on the internet, or heaven forbid, an encyclopedia. And check and see who ran against Calvin Coolidge if the records are out there. But I would think more than likely I wouldn't know who he is. He's gone. There's no memory of him. And so the only thing is if there is something on the internet or something in an encyclopedia that gives a record to who went against Calvin Coolidge, we don't know who it is. Why? Because what? The memory of them is forgotten. They're gone. Also, their love is gone. Their hatred is gone. Their envy is now perishing. Life is short. Life is too short to hate. And there are people that hold grudges their entire life. And I'm thinking, why? Why not be reconciled? Why not get things right? Especially if you're family. That's the disturbing thing to me, is that there are family members that go for decades and won't talk to each other. And I don't understand that. I don't understand why there are people who, you know, family members who don't necessarily hold grudges or anything, but they live several hours apart, but never see each other. What's wrong with putting that extra gas? What's wrong with putting aside some money for a plane ticket? You're not going to see that loved one forever. Why not? Why not? Because whether they loved you to death, hated your guts, or envied what you did, it's gone. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. If I go up to a grave and I say, can I get your opinion on what kind of, you know, what kind of debt retirement program I should have? I bet if I hear something, I better run. If I hear something, I'm loony. All right, don't say a thing. All right. I mean, because what? They're gone. Dead. They can't help me. They had their chance. Why do I do that now? That's not going to help any. Okay? Neither have they any more a portion forever. Once you're in there, once that body's down there, that body never has another chance until God takes it up in a glorified form. But that body's not going to do anything else. And all the regrets. Have you ever had regrets? I hear people say, oh, I've never had any regrets in my life. I have. I've heard preachers go and say, well, I wouldn't change anything. I'd change things. I sure would. I look back on mistakes. I look back on things I should or should not have done, bad decisions. Or maybe not bad decisions, but I think about it, maybe I should have made better decisions. See? Okay. But if when you get down there and that body's lowered down into that ground, it doesn't matter. No more decisions. And that's why I said one time, I would love, and I don't know if she'll do it. I've never really talked about it. I really would. Would you like to do what I suggested one time, and maybe on a Wednesday night, if she felt like it, have Sister Parsons just talk to us from her heart and talk about 99 years on earth? You know, I think that'd be awesome. And just let, and then let maybe people ask questions, kind of spur on what, you know, because I know what she'll say. She says, I don't know what to say. I know what she'll say. But I think if people start asking questions, I think it would just, she'd get to talking. And I mean, we'd learn valuable things, awesome things. That there are people in the grave that can't tell us. Because almost 100 years on this earth is awesome. It just is. So, but when you get down there, it's too late. So I think if anything, if there's any kind of message he's saying, he's just saying this. While we're here, appreciate the life we have. Live the life to the fullest that we can. Enjoy our life. Enjoy what we do. Enjoy our family. One of these days, even if you're, because Sister Parsons, again, 99 years old. Sister Poo, 80 what? 81. Those are longevity lives. But when you compare it to eternity, it's just like that. So let's, hey, God's given us this life. Let's enjoy it. That's why I say when we have Mother's Day or days like that, you know, enjoy family. Enjoy family. It's important to do so. You don't know how long you're going to have family. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll help us. Help us to learn the simple principle that Solomon has taught us. Lord, that we need to appreciate the life that you've given us. That life is a sacred thing. You said life was so sacred that if a man takes a life, his own human life is required at the hand of God and the law. So you put a great premium on this thing called life. Of course, we know too that eternal life is more important than temporal life, but God, you do put a premium on this life. And so we need to be thankful and praise the Lord for that which is done in our lives. We may not have the things we want to, but thank God we don't have the things maybe we deserve, like condemnation and judgment. So I pray, God, that you'll help us, strengthen us, meet our needs, encourage our hearts, and help us to take refuge in the goodness of the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number, what, my sister?
308.
We'll sing two verses. 308 in the Brown Book. In the stand.
There's mercy with the Lord. Will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Second verse.
For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow.
trust Him alone, and trust Him only, trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. All right, if you'll be seated, Brother Will, you come receive the offering tonight for the building fund. While you're coming to do that, Miss Teresa, on your particular, your walk, how much have you been able to, I know that you, there was confusion, you didn't get credit for some stuff, but where are you?
I have raised a little over $100. Buddy signed up today, he's going with us, and kind of manned the tent, so that's $10 more. The team altogether has raised over $100. Okay. And we still have Friday night to go because we'll be selling cancer buttons and things like that, and we'll have refreshments for donations. And they'll come around at 11 and collect what we raised from 6 to 11, and then they'll collect again at 5 o'clock, and we'll have won't have a complete tally until after they do all that.
Does all the money have to be in by then? By Saturday?
They would like for it to be in by Saturday, but if you send a donation in and tell them
all right, let's informally do this. Why don't we, on behalf of the church, to support Ms. Therese, let's give $50. Is that okay? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see if we can somehow get you a check.
Okay.
Who will that need to be made out?
Just make it out to the American Cancer Society or Relay for Life, either way.
All right. Do that. All right. That's not much, but that'd help a little. All right, Brother Will, you lead us in here. Amen. As I shared with you, this Friday is our last day of school for our Christian school for this year, and we will be having commencement graduation services Sunday, so I don't particularly like that, but that's the way the pastor likes to do it, so I'm kind of stuck there, but anyway, we will not be here for the Sunday night service for that reason. Graduation starts at 2 o'clock, and pastor likes to keep it long. About 3 hours. And so anyway, Brother Charles Taylor will be here speaking at 5 o'clock service. So I'll let you know about that. You pray for Sunday evening. Okay? All right. Lord bless you. Have a good night.